I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like
spooky things.
But we really, really like to self-cancel yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, I like really had to rest a lot because I was super sick.
That's why we didn't have an episode last week.
Yeah, I had like this horrible cough and there is no way I could like talk and get through it without just being
awful. No, because it's not worth it, too, because then, like, your enthusiasm would be like, so what happened? And you'd be like, anyways.
Yeah. Well, and it's really hard to edit when you're, like, coughing up a lung. So I rested, and it was really nice to just kind of, like, allow myself to drink yummy teas and and get comfy cozy and just, like, relax.
It's hard to rest sometimes because you're like, I should be doing something. I know. But it's like, actually, you shouldn't.
Like, the guilt of like, I'm not being productive. But
I think that's like our generation is like, if I'm not being productive, I'm not living. So
because I'm a lazy piece of shit. Like,
I should quit.
Yeah.
Just quit life.
What did you do?
This week for self-care, I'm back on my workout bullshit. Run 3 miles. I run for an hour, but it usually is about 3 miles, sometimes more.
Okay.
But I did that, and then we went for a 4 mile hike. I don't know what it's called. It's really cool, but it was a fun hike, and
it was pretty.
It was really pretty. I'm getting more endurance because like my endurance is shit because of like my asthma and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was actually able to do this hike and like hardly stop. It was actually really fun too. But towards the end, I got all these cuts on my legs because this dog like jumped at Aspen.
Oh.
Aspen for once wasn't the bad dog, but this girl like could hardly hold her dog back. And this dog just like, and Aspen was like scared, but
was she excited or like, was it like she was trying to attack you?
I don't know. The dog seemed mean. Aspen seemed scared though, but to like grab Aspen back, because Aspen was just like, to like get her back from this dog, I stepped in a thorny bush. And it was just like, and I just looked at my leg. I was like, oh, that's fun. I'm really excited that happened.
Thank you for that.
But yeah, getting back on that workout bullshit, it's a lot.
For you. Just doing it.
So, like, not a big deal. I'm just getting swole.
Just
like,
getting pretty swole. Just getting pretty swole. I don't know if you noticed.
It's not a big deal.
I am
swole. My sick muscles, like, sorry about it. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry about my sick muscles. Are you scared?
Are you scared of my muscles? If you're not watching, I just flexed my muscles. I didn't. I was like, ooh, that sound just probably like didn't translate
really
well.
Really macho man flex. Like, I think it's funny when people do that.
But
like,
serious.
But like, serious.
Yeah. I was like, but like, seriously.
I'm like,
it's really cute when little boys do it, though.
That is cute. I mean,
precious. It's adorable because you're like,
aww,
you're so buff. So,
well, what are you gonna tell me about today?
Okay, so I always say like, oh my god, I've been wanting to do this story for a while, and I have, but it's one I like kind of forgot about. So I guess like I've been wanting to do it, but I like forgot about it.
Yeah.
But the murder of Phil Hartman.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
I've always wanted to know more about this. Like, I knew he was murdered, but I don't know a lot about it.
So, the story itself of how it happened isn't, like, it's short, so I like to, like, talk about him because Phil Hartman, to me, I mean, he's, okay. So, just preface it, and I'll talk about this later because I'm not looking at my notes yet, but my brother and I were obsessed with The Simpsons. Like,
okay.
When we were kids. I have not watched it since, like, I think I was 16.
Yeah.
So
still going strong, I guess.
Yeah. So 20 years ago. But that's disgusting, and I want to throw up. 20 years ago, I probably haven't watched it. But we watched every single day of The Simpsons, like, unless we were, like, hanging out with friends. But there was not an episode I hadn't seen, like, ever. And one of the big voice actors for The Simpsons was Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman, to me, like, I feel like the closest example to Phil Hartman was, like, is now Chris Parnell. Because he had that voice, you know it's him. You can't really duplicate that voice.
It's almost like
voice.
A broadcaster voice. Like, it's kind of, yes. like, classically, like, I don't know, like a gentleman.
It's 100% you know I mean? A broadcasting voice. Yeah. And I didn't even like think about that, but that's like the perfect way to describe it. But like when you're hearing his voice, you're not like, maybe that's Phil Hartman. It's like, that is Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
But he did like a lot of voices for The Simpsons. In fact, like when I decided I want to do Phil Hartman, I watched the one about the monorail, The Simpsons monorail. And he was like one of the main characters of that episode. He's like this scam artist that tells them to do the monorail because the town gets some more money. I don't know. But he also like played this washed up actor named Troy McClure. I don't know. It's just like, I was like, Phil Hartman was like, he was a big part of The Simpsons, like the earlier years, because he obviously.
And like a big part of SNL, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll talk about that. That's a big part of this. Okay. So a really helpful source is IMDb. I don't know if you've ever used IMDb. Mm-hmm. I use that for everything. Like if I'm like, who's that man in the background?
Right.
I always IMDb it because I have to know who people are. All right. So Phil Hartman was born on September 24th, 1948 in Ontario. He was 4 of 8 children. So he was basically right in the middle. He was very Mark or Eric, like the middle child. His name was spelled with 2 N's, like Hartman with 2 N's, but he just dropped one of the N's because what's the point? So basically having 8 kids is quite a lot. You would know with having 1.
Oh my God, I can't imagine 8.
So basically like his older sisters kind of took a big part of parenting him. Mm-hmm. And he talks about that a lot. He's like, yeah, they were my sisters, but also like they felt like second moms to me. And his mom was like a hairstylist, but she also like did paintings. People would buy the paintings oh, while wow. she was doing their hair. So okay. he said she was an entrepreneur and it like really inspired him to do big things. So he was from Canada, but they moved to the US when he was 10. So kind of the end of like the 50s, and they moved to Connecticut. So he spent most of his time. So they moved to Maine and then quickly they moved to Connecticut. And then they eventually moved to California. And he would go to Canada all the time and visit. And they absolutely loved him. Like, there's plaques up where he, like, went to school and stuff like that. Like,
oh, wow.
They're really proud. They're like, oh, Phil Hartman? You mean our Phil Hartman? And they have scholarships in his name, too.
Oh, wow.
So, and he did eventually become an American citizen in the 1990s. So, like I said, his voice is insanely well known. And I even put in the notes, I watched The Simpsons the other day, Lyle Lanley or Troy McClure.
I always think of him in, what's the one with like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
He's like the annoying neighbor.
He's so good at it too. He's so good at it. Because
he's like so friendly, you like can't hate him.
But he's like weirdly hitting on the wife. But he's still annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's good in Jingle All the Way. Small Soldiers was another one I knew him in.
Oh my God, he was in that?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen that.
I don't know if he died right after but he died before it was like out to public and they put like a memorial like dedicated geez. To, which is so sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he was in Small Soldiers, which if I remember as a kid, it was a good movie. I'm not going to watch it again.
Yeah, no, I'm probably good.
Me and Keith were talking about like sometimes it's good to just leave stuff in the past, like when you thought
like
it was
Happy
good.
Meals.
Yeah, just
it's not as good.
Yeah, you don't.
It's not as good as an adult.
Like I know, like there
it was great when you were a kid.
Yeah, there's some movies that I haven't seen since a kid, and I don't think I'm going to. Because it was great, so don't want to ruin
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because then you like watch it as an adult, and you're like, what is this fuck-ass plot?
So there's this movie called Rocket Man that I loved. Do you know which movie that is?
No.
Okay, it was one on the Disney Channel. It like had,
Disney Channel.
It was like, it wasn't a Disney Channel original movie, but they played it a lot. And, oh God, what's his name? I'm sure people are screaming. But it was like one of those movies as a kid I remember was so funny.
And then you watch
so
it later.
So funny. And then like, I watch it later and I'm like, what is this fuck-ass plot like?
Why was I laughing?
Like, this is not that funny. Oh my God. Why did I watch this? So I learned the hard way.
Child humor. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it kind of like ruined it a little bit. I'm like, Yeah. So at the end of high school, Phil didn't really know what he wanted to do, but he was going to move to the University of Hawaii. However, right before he was about to go, his brother, who had worked with like artists and stuff like that, his brother was kind of like, I mean, he's in California, so it's pretty common for that to happen, wanted him to stay. And his brother was like the manager of a band called The Rockin' Foo.
I don't know him.
That's not your favorite band?
It's not my favorite band. Uh-oh. Sorry. Uh-oh, The Rockin' Foo?
Really upsetting.
Like F-O-O?
Yeah, I think.
The hell?
I think that's how it was, or FU. I didn't look it up. I'm sorry. I know. I'm the worst.
No, that's a minor detail. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he wanted Phil to like stay in California, and he was like, hey, I manage this band. Do you want to be the equipment manager?
Oh.
And Phil was like, all right. But they seem to do, like, I haven't heard of this band, and I know a lot of classic rock bands and stuff like that, so I was like, okay. But they would go to concert venues and stuff, and at one point they were playing a show and Jimi Hendrix hopped up on stage and Phil Hartman had to hold the drum for him because the drum was moving around, and you know, hashtag equipment manager.
Wow. Okay.
Which I think is such a cool,
that's a cool little story.
I put that shit on a resume.
Held a drum for Jimi Hendrix.
Please call me at your earliest convenience. So he did a lot of stuff, and his brother, like, helped open a venue. Like, his brother was doing a lot of stuff in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
And Phil actually studied graphic design. That was something he was really interested in. And he would, like, draw little characters and stuff like that for people. And he designed album covers. Cool. And he did one for Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Nice.
And a band called Poco. My favorite band.
Obviously.
After the Killers, obviously. So in the 1970s, he was at the beach with his friends, and he had been partying, but he wasn't a big partier. He mostly, like, would do pot. He would do the weed.
He would do the weed.
He would do the weed.
Okay.
He would smoke pot. I don't know why I said do pot, but it's fine. He would smoke pot, but that's pretty much what he did. He didn't do any of the harder drugs, but he had the ability to, but he was around, like, artists and stuff, so he was around it, but he wasn't, like, that interested. Mm. And in the 1970s, he was at the beach with his friends, and this beautiful woman with her poodle was walking by, and her name was Gretchen. And those two immediately hit it off, and they fell in love, and they got married.
Oh, okay.
And it seems like it was overall a pretty happy relationship. Like, she says good things about him still. So that should tell you a thing. But one thing to know about Phil Hartman is he does not settle down easily.
Okay.
So the two ended up being married for 2 years. And basically, Gretchen kind of started having an emotional affair with a coworker. And, like, they didn't do anything physical. But Phil, rightfully so, was like, you know what? Maybe
this isn't it.
Yeah. But, yeah. But I think at that point, he was kind of, like, over it, too. And that's kind of seems like a little bit of the theme, which is fine, especially if they're emotionally cheating on you and stuff like that. But in 1975, Phil went to a comedy club, and they were about to watch this group called The Groundlings. And he actually hopped up on stage and started doing impressions.
Oh, God, that's bold.
One thing to know about, I know, right? One thing to know about him is he was so good at impressions.
Okay.
Like, SNL mostly had him doing impressions because he was so good. And, like, he sounded exactly like the people. And people were just dying laughing at him. And he was like, what can I do to join this comedy troupe? And they were like, you just have to pay $25 for the classes. And then, like, you're part of it. And he's like,
oh, okay.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, he joined them in 1975, and a lot of people got their start on The Groundlings.
Oh.
Let me ask you a question. Who are, like, three of your favorite SNL alum?
I think, like, I used to watch it when I was a kid.
Yeah, same.
And it was, like, I guess, like, the 90s people.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't watch it, like, reruns with,
would,
like,
you say, like,
Chevy
Will Ferrell?
Chase or anything.
Will Ferrell was
I guess Will Ferrell.
He was on The Groundlings. Kristen Wiig was on The Groundlings.
Wasn't, like, David Spade part of it at one point?
He was, but that was like, he wasn't, later. He wasn't one of the people that I'm aware, but Maya Rudolph was also on the Gremlins.
I love Maya Rudolph.
So a lot of people got their start from that.
Sure.
So, and that's how people got discovered. So while he was in the Groundlings, Phil worked with a guy, you might know his name, called Paul Rubens.
Should I know this guy?
Pee Wee Herman.
Oh.
And
I only know him as Pee Wee Herman.
I didn't know if you'd know the name. No. But, and John Lovitz. And John Lovitz was a really important person to Phil. They were like...
like besties?
Yeah. And he also did a lot of voices on Simpsons, too. Oh, okay. So, you would know his voice if you saw him. He kind of like... I'm trying to think. I know he did The Simpsons. He's done a lot, but okay, that'll kind of come back. So, John Lovitz and Paul Rubens. So, in the early 80s, Phil met the woman that he described as his soulmate.
Oh.
Her name was Lisa Jarvis. He asked her for the first date to be at a wedding, and she was like,
That's kind of weird.
Actually, I think first dates are like sushi. So yeah, he like, took
let's
her,
calm down.
So he took her on a sushi date, and then she ended up going to the wedding.
Could you imagine how awkward that would be? You're like at a wedding, and you're, because you introduce people. So it's like the bride and groom come up to you. They're like, oh my God, who's your plus one? You guys have been dating for a while? No, this is our first date. Like,
weddings no. are weird when it's like your like husband's friends and you don't really know anyone.
It's reserved for like,
yeah,
people that like you've been dating a while. Yeah, it's like a big step to take. But
I'm sure
to a
like,
wedding.
Oh, it's Phil Hartman. He can do whatever he wants. You know, sure. I'm wondering if that was kind of the case.
First date, that'd be.
But
wild.
She did end up going to the wedding, and they just had a good time, and they were just like, they loved each other, but they were like first and foremost like best friends. Aww. Like they were that close. So basically they ended up not working out but they stayed really close friends.
Okay.
And they would like go to lunch dates and stuff like that. And he just like really loved Lisa.
Aww.
So anyways, in the mid 80s, they really wanted Phil Hartman to join Saturday Night Live. And he actually really didn't want to.
Why?
I don't know. He just like.
He's like, you guys are all sellout posers.
Well, he was still, like, kind of working with his brother, doing the Groundlings thing, and he was just like...
okay.
You would think, like, Saturday Night Live would be the dream.
But it's also, like, at that time, it wasn't as, like... I don't know. I feel like if,
I'll
you,
get
if
into
you were
it a
to be,
bit
like,
more. Yeah.
Asked to do Saturday Night Live now, like, whoa, oh my God.
Like, I would totally do it.
Yeah, but, like, maybe at that time it was a little bit less...
And I'll get into a little bit, maybe that'll make more sense. So after dragging his feet, he decided to join, and he was one of the breakout characters for sure. And he joined it in like 1985, 1986, kind of that time.
Okay.
And Phil, when he joined, believe it or not, at this point, Saturday Night Live had been on the air for a little bit over 10 years, and they weren't doing so well. They were about to...
Get canceled.
But... they say the biggest helper was Eddie Murphy, but like, let's be so fucking for real. Like Phil Hartman did an amazing job, and he played a lot of characters because, like I said, he did impressions, and some of the people he did were Ed McMahon, Ronald Reagan, Barbara Bush, Bill Clinton, Frank Sinatra. He just did so many. And he also, like, a lot of people wanted their sketches to get, like, on the show, like, a lot of the writers. So he would actually, like, help people so they could get like, be a writer for Saturday Night Live. So, but he ended up enjoying it because he was on SNL for 10 years. But people called him the glue because he kind of held everything together a little bit. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Eddie Murphy helped, but, like, come on.
Like, yeah, I think Eddie Murphy was just, like, a huge, huge name in comedy back then where it was, like, everyone was obsessed with him.
Because if
they
you
had, like, a star-studded cast at that point.
Yeah, and, like, in the 90s, do you remember, like, SNL? Like, you did not miss.
No, it was so SNL. Good.
It was so good.
It was funny, and then, like, I feel like it kind of fell off in the 2000s.
I think it falls off, comes back, and then falls off. Like, it came back for a little bit. I think it's kind of fallen off a little right now.
Yeah, but, I don't know. It kind of depends on who the people are and what they're doing.
Because sometimes, I don't know, I just know, like, Will Ferrell is like one of my favorite people that's ever been on SNL. And I know people are either like, you love Will Ferrell or you hate him. There is no in between. But he's like one of, like, people, if you ask who my favorite is, it's definitely like Will Ferrell, Chris Farley, and then like Phil Hartman, because it's just, I don't know. So anyways, but yeah, they called him the glue. And Phil and Paul Reubens created the character Pee-wee Herman together.
Oh.
And Phil, and if you remember, they had a show called Pee-wee's Playhouse,
mm-hmm.
and they did like Pee-wee's Big Adventure and stuff like that. And he actually played a character called Pirate Captain Carl.
Oh.
But I don't know. It just kind of got weird because Paul Reubens, I watched a documentary on Pee-wee Herman like years and years ago, and they say Paul Reubens like thought he was Pee-wee Herman. Like he lost Paul and became Pee-wee Herman. But it was like his biggest, like nobody.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. Nobody.
Although people, like actors do that, I think.
That's yeah.
Like a thing when you're in that craft.
Well, I remember he was like in the movie Matilda. But like,
was he?
Yeah, he was in the movie Matilda, but it's like he wasn't, he was like a FBI guy that was like sitting outside the house, because if you remember, the dad was like committing fraud. But nobody was like, oh, that's Paul Reubens. Everyone's like, oh my God, Pee-wee Herman, crazy.
Yeah, I know. When you said Paul Reubens, I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, so, I mean, he just okay. kind of lost himself into Pee-wee Herman, and it became a big part of his life. And him and Phil kind of had a little spat about it, because he wanted like 2% of earnings or whatever, and he never got the earnings from Pee-wee Herman, and he helped Paul create that character. And I'm sure it's a
2%
lot of he
isn't
said,
even like a lot.
No, and I'm sure it's like
he's asking a ridiculous amount of like,
yeah,
I need 50%. Like 2% is not a lot.
Well, Keanu Reeves made out because he, instead of getting paid for The Matrix, he just wanted like some of the money. Like, I think he, I'm making up a number, I think 5%. He wanted, like, 5% of movie, like, deals or whatever. And he, like, got way, like, millions more than he would have if he just got paid for the movie. So sometimes that's part of it, too.
Huh.
But, like, imagine doing all that work and then, like, your movie doesn't do very well. And you're like, cool, I would have gotten paid so much more. So that was kind of something. Those two kind of had a spat. And when he left Saturday Night Live, I don't think it was on the greatest terms, but Lorne Michaels is like, he was amazing. Like, there's no one like him. And I'm like, that should show the kind of person he is. When Lorne Michaels, even if you have like a kind of tumultuous departure from something, they still talk about how great you are.
Isn't that like a usual thing for SNL? I feel like I've heard that, where like everyone just like leaves on like bad terms.
I think a lot of
maybe
people,
it's a rumor.
And this is just me, like just my opinion. I think a lot of people are like, they get a crazy movie role and they're like, oh, this, I'm too good for this.
Yeah.
Like, cause there's so many people like, I was on SNL, and it's like, relax. That's how you got your start.
Yeah.
So like, maybe be like, I think it's so weird when people like their breakout roles are like, that was so dumb. It's like, that role is what got you where you are now. So maybe be like a little bit more grateful. So, and he also, he was friends with everyone, by the way, with Saturday Night Live and, like, Elvira. If you remember Elvira, he and her dated for a little bit.
Oh.
And they had a really good friendship.
Okay.
So, and that's just the Saturday Night Live of it. So, in the 80s, he started dating a lady whose name was Brynn. And he wanted to marry Brynn pretty quickly. And everyone was like, what are you doing? Like, Elvira's like, are you out of your fucking mind? He, like, said, I'm going to propose. And Elvira was like, fuck no. So.
Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people were like, you don't need to marry her. You can just date her. Like, bro.
It doesn't need to be this fast.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be that serious. So, if you remember, he would always talk about, like, Brynn would be like, do you love me? And he's like, yeah, I love you. And she's like, am I your soulmate? And he's like, my soulmate's Lisa, sorry.
Oh! Why would you say that,
that would hurt my feelings, but.
Yeah, no. Well, and so, it's also like, if she's your soulmate, then why aren't you with her? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's something that bothered Brynn, and
yeah, I'd be annoyed.
Yeah, she was very controlling, and like, and it was during SNL that him and Brynn were together, and they would say, like, his makeup artist, he would come onto set and he would just be upset. And they're like, what happened? He's like, talk to Brynn again.
Oh.
So it just said she was controlling, always under surveillance. And I can kind of understand it to a certain extent, like, because he wouldn't be in relationships very long and, like...
She wanted to make sure that she kept him.
Yeah, which, at that point, girl, just don't...
Let him live his life.
Yeah, don't be with him. Don't be with him. If you don't
trust him... Find someone who thinks that you are their soulmate.
So, it was at this point, he was kind of like, I don't know... He was kind of like, I don't really want to be with her anymore. I think we're going to break up, like, after they'd gotten married. And then Bryn got pregnant. Yeah. And Bryn struggled with, you know, cocaine, alcohol, all that kind of stuff. So she had her struggles.
Like, while she was pregnant?
While her and Phil were together.
Oh, okay.
It didn't say anything about, like, during her pregnancy. Okay. But, like, it was something she kind of always struggled with.
Okay.
So, anyways, they just kind of had a tumultuous relationship. So, let me look at this. Phil left Saturday Night Live in 1994. And at that point, he had kind of been there for around 10 years. And after he did that, he was cast in the show News Radio. And News Radio was about basically this, like, high-strung guy who did a radio show.
Okay.
And he played an arrogant radio show host, Bill McNeil. Pretty much everything he had done was popular. Like, you remember him as SNL. But News Radio was just, like, kind of like, you know, like Two and a Half Men. Like, it was a sitcom at the time. But it was a little bit before, like, probably you and me were, like, watching that kind of stuff. You know, or taking it in. So, anyways, so he was doing News Radio. That was huge. So... I'm wondering if he left SNL to do News Radio, and it was kind of like one of those things we talk about, like people get their big break and everything. So at this point, he's still with Bryn. Things are still not going great, but they stayed together because he wanted to stay for the kids. So
there's multiple now? So he had multiple kids?
Yeah, he had two kids.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, they don't want to be known. So I didn't even include like their names and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because like this is kind of a hard thing to have to do. But they were like younger when this happened. So on May 28th, she had gone out with friends and she was drinking and possibly doing drugs. Nobody knows what happened. But Bryn was just kind of like not doing well that night. So she had gone home. They think what happened was her and Phil probably had an argument.
Sure.
She went over to her friend's house. And she was hanging out with this guy who was her friend. And they had been friends for a lot of years. And basically, she was just like, I'm annoyed with Phil. And the guy's like, Bryn, like, I'm going to bed. Like, please leave. Like,
please leave my house.
Yeah. He was like, basically, like, leave my house. Like, sorry.
Same story.
Yeah. Same song and dance. Yeah. Just go home. Like, rest and then and like we're good.
Yeah.
And she clearly was on something when this happened too.
Uh-oh.
And this, I don't know if I said the year, but 1998.
Okay.
So she went home and then she calls him and says she's coming over and he's like, Bryn, I'm trying to go to sleep. And she's like, no, I'm coming over.
Why did she go home then? Like,
gosh. It doesn't make sense. So she comes back to his house and she's essentially like, I shot Phil. I killed him.
Oh my God.
I killed him. And the guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Bryn? So he goes over with her to the house and he said this will stay in his mind. There's a gunshot wound in Phil's head.
Oh, Jesus.
She also left her fucking children to go to this guy's house.
The kids were home?
The kids were home.
Oh my God.
And the kids were terrified.
Yeah.
They were like hiding, but they were awake and they were so hiding.
So sad. Oh my God.
So sad. So basically her friend comes over and he's just there and he starts calling the police and he went to call 911 and he's like, oh my God, oh my God, like what the fuck did you do? And she locked herself in the bedroom.
Oh God.
And she shot herself. And she had obviously passed away. And when they did a coroner report, they discovered that she had alcohol, cocaine, and the antidepressant Zoloft in her system. and they left behind two kids, and their kids were 10 and 6.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those poor kids.
Poor kids. Like, they were...
Both parents in one night and just like...
age.
Oh, that's so sad.
But yeah. And they don't like to be named, so like, I'm not going to name them, even though they have names, but I just don't think it's very fair. So he wanted... Phil always wanted his ashes spread on Catalina Island because that was somewhere he went with Lisa. That was really important to him. So he requested that. But basically, so after he had passed away, it was a huge... Like, I remember when he passed away.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it.
And I was just like, the guy on Simpsons?
Yeah.
The guy on Simpsons? Oh my gosh. And it was like shocking because it was like in the 90s. And he was 49 years old. It was like right before he turned 50.
Damn, that's young.
Yeah, super young. So essentially, he passed away. But if you remember at that point, he also had news radio going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember, I said earlier to remember John Lovitz.
Mm-hmm.
John Lovitz actually ended up taking over news radio, and he did it as a favor to his best friend, Phil Hartman.
Aww.
And the show was good, and it continued and stuff like that. However, one of the big parts that people will remember is people were pissed at Andy Dick, because Andy Dick was supposedly the person that gave Brynn cocaine.
Oh, well, and I'm sorry. You can't blame someone for that. Own actions are her own actions.
And that's what I'm going to get to.
She probably shouldn't have been doing drugs. Sure. But you can't blame...
It was a big thing in the 90s where people were pissed at Andy Dick. When somebody's not doing drugs, should you give them drugs? No, you shouldn't.
No.
However, and this has come with growth, because I used to be like, Andy Dick, fuck Andy Dick. He shouldn't have given her drugs. I will be the first one to say that. But he didn't kill Phil Hartman.
No. He should have. It's not like he put the idea in her head. Like, that's her own actions and her own behavior after that.
And I hate Andy Dick. I think he's creepy. Like, have you heard the stories of him, like, in Hollywood?
I always heard weird stuff about him. Why is he even famous?
Because he was on news radio, I think.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So that's where like this comes in. And John Lovitz basically like bullied him on set because he's like, you're the reason this happened, which is
totally unfair. Dude.
And I'm saying this, I don't like Andy Dick. I think he's
You don't have to like a person, but like that's not really.
So that's one part I like to put in because everyone's like, well, Andy Dick did it. No, he fucking didn't.
Yeah.
And that's really unfair say that. Yeah, that was all her actions.
He didn't say go home and kill your husband and then kill yourself.
He wasn't the only one who had coke.
Yeah.
She could have gotten it from anyone. So that's one part I like to say.
Yeah, if she wanted to get coke that night, she could have probably gotten it from multiple people.
And, you know, and it's so sad that we lost such a light, because it kind of makes you wonder, like, what other things he would have done. He was, like, doing all these movies, like we talked about. And I just, like, wonder, like, what would have happened, like, what other things he would have voiced.
Yeah, that's so sad. And so sad for those kids that they lost both of their parents. Like,
and we don't even really know what happens, you know, what happened that night. Like, what I told you was like, kind of that guy's account. Even about. Yeah, like her friend's account of what happened. And like, thank God he also called 911. He wasn't like, let's cover this up. So, and those poor kids.
Yeah, that makes me so sad. Like, how traumatic to hear all that.
Yeah. And like, your mom did that to your dad. Like,
so sad.
But that's the murder of Phil Hartman, who was an incredible, like, he was incredible. Anything he touched, he like did such a good job with it. Such a bummer. I'm like, this one was like one that I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was 49 is just.
That's too young.
When you're a kid, it sounds so old. But as you get closer to it, like.
Yeah.
It's not. Like, life continues. I remember people were like, I have to quit this before my 30s. I need to do this before I'm 30. I'm like, life goes on, trust me.
Yeah. Hopefully you have a lot of years.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah. But we'll put pictures of Phil Hartman. We'll try to find videos of like his impressions and stuff like that. I'll try to find one and send that to you to put on our Instagram. And that's just going to be Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram.
And if you have any like stories or suggestions or literally anything, you can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
Compliment Danae's outfit.
Compliment Kim's makeup.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
There you go. Until next time, self-care yourselves.
All right.
Boogie, bye.